Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Beitza Yud Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah, which is four lines from the top of the Amud. Before we begin, the Ran explains like this. Grinding, Teichen, is really a melacha, which is Mutar Yamta, because it's Eichel Nefesh, for the sake of food preparation. However, says the Ran, when you're doing it in a manner which resembles the way it's done during the weekday, or in a way where perhaps it appears like you're just processing, you're doing it for long-term use, not letzorech achila, not for the sake of immediate use, for the sake of preparing your upcoming meal, we don't do that. Therefore, the Chachamim tell us that the method of, for instance, toichen, crushing, seasoning, salt, etc., on Yom Tov, has to appear like it's being done merely for immediate use, for tzorech achila, for tzorech the upcoming seuda. And therefore we find many halachos, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, the Gemara, various conditions set to allow this to be done. It has to be done derech shinoi, perhaps, in a way which deviates from the way it's normally done, so that it appears that it's being done for the sake of Yom Tov. It's not just ordinary processing of grain or seasoning or salt, and not just grinding to develop and to produce. You're just preparing your meal. That's why we require various aspects and elements of shinui, deviation from the way it's done during the weekday. This way it appears that it's being done for Yom Tov, and then it's mutter. Says the Mishnah, B'shamei Oimrim Tavlin, seasoning, spices. Nidoichen b'madach shalitz. If you want to crush them on Yom Tov, how do you do that? So you take the stone mortar, but when it comes to the madach, which is the pestle, the club used to crush the seasoning, you have to do a shinoi. You have to use a wooden club. It's shinoi from the derech that is done by Ma'isachol, and it gives it that Yom Tov flavor. So according to Beis Shammai, when it comes to seasoning, one shinoi is sufficient. However, v'hamelach, when you want to crush salt, you have to make a double deviation, a double shinoi. Number one, with pach, instead of using a stone kli, pach is needed. Cheres, earthenware, which is not your typical mortar. So one shinoi over there, and number two, it's a potter. You crush it using a mixing spoon. So it's a double shinoi when it comes to melach. The Gemara will explain why melach is more chomer than seasoning. So according to Beis Shammai, when it comes to seasoning, one shinoi. When it comes to melach, a double shinoi. Ubisil aimrim, they go a step down. Tavlin nidoichen kedarken. When it comes to seasoning, no shinoi is needed. Mother shel evan, use a stone mortar and a stone pestle. No concern here. When it comes to salt, you need one shinoi, madach shel eitz, a wooden club. Stone kli, but a wooden club. So there are three options. No shinoi, one shinoi, two shinoiim. According to Beis Hillel, tavlin, no shinoi, melach, one shinoi. According to Beis Shammai, melach, tavlin, one shinoi, and melach, two shinoiim. It's pretty clear that according to all shittos, even according to Beis Hillel, when you crush salt on Yom Tov, you have to show that it's for Yom Tov. It's different than your ordinary processing of salt done during the weekday. Why is that? Why is salt more severe than seasoning? The Kuli Alma Mias all seem to hold, even Beis Hillel, seem to hold on Melach Bo Shinui. When it comes to crushing salt, you have to make a Shinui to indicate that it's not Kederach HaChol. As opposed to seasoning, we're going to Beis Hillel, you don't need a shinoi. My time, what's the difference between one and the other? It's the same crushing. If you have to show that it's Tzerech Yom Tov, it's not Derech Chol, what difference does it make what you are crushing? We have two terutzim, Rav Huna and also Rav Chisda. Each one provided an explanation, a chiluk between salt and seasoning. Chadam, I want to explain. The difference is because Kol HaKederes Kulan Tzricha Yismelach. All dishes need salt for flavor, for seasoning. And that's different than spices. Ve'en kol ha'kadero is trichas tavlin. Not all dishes need seasoning, need spices. And therefore, when it comes to spices, who says you would have needed it on Yom Tov? You didn't anticipate use of spice on Yom Tov, and you didn't prepare in advance. So it's reasonable to allow you to do it today, Tzorech Yom Tov. But when it comes to salt, who asked you to wait around? You could have done it yesterday. You know full and well that everything you cook needs some salt. And therefore, you could have done it yesterday. The fact that you're doing it today, that's of your choice, and it looks like you're just passing time, just processing salt for long-term use. And therefore, we need a shini to indicate, no, this is something different. This is just an improvised way of doing it. That's one shot. Salt is anticipated, seasoning isn't. V'chadamar, the other one explained, kol ha'tavlin v'figin taman. When it comes to seasoning, if they're done yesterday, they lose their sharpness and freshness. So there's a point and purpose in doing it today. U'melach enu v'figin taman, as opposed to salt, it doesn't lose its freshness. So you could have easily done it yesterday. And therefore, if you choose to do it today, you have to do it with a shinui. Let's go over to Rashi, five lines from the top. Gemara, kol hakaderes, kol minei tavshel tzrichos melach. All types of dishes need some salt. Tilkach me'es malav yada. He knew yesterday that come Yom Tov, he needs a supply of salt. Diboy le'aduch, he should have prepared it yesterday. As opposed to spices, ven kol hakaderes tzrichos tavan, v'ol le'menu yadeya ma'yala b'libay lechal machar. How is he meant to know what he's going to decide to cook tomorrow? So he decides he needs seasoning. Okay, we'll allow him to crush it. Letzerech Yom Tov. Second teretz was freshness. All seasoning lose their freshness if they're crushed in advance. Mefigen tamen, memirin tamen. The tam dissipates. Im yaduchen me'esmo, reichel le'nomar, metargimin le'y pug. So we see that pug and nomar, exchange and dissipation, is synonymous with pug and nomar. So mefigen tamen means that the seasoning will get on fresh by the time Yom Tov arrives. So it is the tzurich Yom Tov to allow it to do it today, as opposed to salt. The fact that you didn't do it yesterday indicates that perhaps you're just waiting for Yom Tov to do some work at home, and it doesn't give that appearance that it's the tzurich Yom Tov, and therefore you have to show that it is by doing shinui, different than the way it's done during the weekdays. So it looks like you're merely preparing for your upcoming meal. Continues the Gemara. So we have two reasons. Anticipation or freshness. My Binayu, is there any difference between the two pshatim? You can be now, there is a difference. In a case where the yada my kadera boy livshulet, he knows exactly what his menu is going to be on Yom Tov. He knows exactly what he's going to cook. So in that case, you don't have the unanticipated element here. So when it comes to seasoning, we're not going to give you that kula. But if the reason is because of freshness, then it applies in this case as well. Inami, another nafkimini would be bimurika. Murika spice, saffron, which wouldn't really spoil if left overnight. You could have done it yesterday. So as far as freshness is concerned, in this case, spices have no advantage over salt. There's no reason to apply a kula. But the other reason of anticipation would still apply. Listen to this chiddush. You can take all types of spices and seasoning and crush it the way you ordinarily do it, with stoneware, and even salt. No deviation necessary. Says Gemara Amras, Melech by Shina. You've just concluded that when it comes to salt, you need Shina. You're going to all Shitas. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel was quoting the following Tana, who learns that the Machlekes Beis Shammai and different and Beis Hillel was presented differently than the way we learned it in our Mishnah. And according to that version, Beis Hillel hold no shini is necessary when it comes to crushing salt, spices. You're merely preparing for your upcoming meal. It's all included in the Heter Echel Nefesh and its Matzah. The Sanyu. Omer Rabbi Meir, Lo Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Al Nadoichen, Shenadoichen Kedarkan, U Melach Imar. all agree, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, both agree that when it comes to all types of seasonings and spices, you can do it properly, the way you ordinarily do it. Without any shinui, u'melach yimon, listen to this chiddush, you can even add some salt to the mix. As long as you're not crushing that salt separately, independent of the seasoning, you're just putting it together with the other ones. It's one mass, and just as you can do the seasoning, just do the salt with it, it appears like you're just preparing for your upcoming meal. The question is regarding crushing salt on its own. Here we have a machlokes, only by salt. Melach be'etz pach u'be'etz ha'porer. According to Beis Shammai, you need two shinuyim, pach, earthenware, be'etz ha'porer, mixing spoon. That's number one. And also as far as quantity, litzli, a small measure of salt intended for sprinkling upon a piece of meat which is going to be roasted. Roasted meat does not need to be properly salted because the heat, the fire extracts the blood, as opposed to meat cooked in a pot, which needs proper malicha done. So Beis Shammai maintain, we only allow it to crush with a double shini and a small measure, which is intended for its sli, a roasted piece of meat. Avalo the kader, we can't crush a large measure of salt, which is intended for a piece of meat, going into a pot. So many chumres, according to Beis Shammai, when it comes to crushing salt independently. Double shini and a small measure. Ube seloimim b'chal davar, they disagree. You can take salt and crush it with anything of your choice. B'chol davar sagadaitach, anything, any utensil, even mokza, that can't be. Aleim b'chol davar. What they meant is, you can crush any amount, even if your plan is to use this large measure of salt to salt a piece of meat going into the pot, the kader. And as Rashi explains, apparently Beis Hillel being matir to crush salt in an ordinary manner, without deviation whatsoever. Because that's what Beis Shammai was speaking about. He said you could take seasoning and crush it kedarka, right? That was the Tanakam. You could crush it kedarka, meaning in stoneware. And then the Bryson said, well, salt with it is okay. The question is regarding salt separately. Beis Shammai said deviation is needed. According to Beis Hillel, no. You could do any amount, any quantity. And it appears that they're going back to what we said earlier, that we're speaking about doing it without any shinui. So bottom line is, according to Beis Hillel, even when it comes to salt, no shinui, and in large quantities. So according to this version, which is Rabbi Meir's presentation of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we're very lenient when it comes to seasoning, because that is a true tzerach yom tov. It has to remain fresh. It's perhaps something unanticipated, as we mentioned earlier. No restrictions whatsoever when it comes to salt done independent of that seasoning. Salt is more chomer, as we explained, is something which you had anticipated. It's something which remains fresh. So we are machmer, we require some sort of shinui according to Beis Shammai, a double shinui and a small measure only. According to Beis Hillel, no restrictions whatsoever. Not on seasoning and not on salt. And this is the shita that Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel was following when he said that even when it comes to salt, there's no shini needed, because he was following Beis Hillel's opinion as presented by Rav Meir. Amar Rav Acha Bardla, he told his son Levrei, Kedaychus, when you go ahead and you crush what? Crush salt. Although you don't need a significant deviation, but something you need. Do it a little differently than the way it's done during the weekdays. Atzli, atzli, just tip it over to the side, lean the mortar over to the side and crush it like that. So it looks yomtivdik, doesn't appear like a weekday activity. So although you can use stoneware, an ordinary pestle and mortar, you can do large quantities, but tip it a bit to the side. Atzli, atzli, vidoich, and crush it like that. So it appears that even according to what we just said, Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Hillel, which is salt carries no restrictions, but a little tipping you have to do. The mass has to be done differently than the way it's done during the weekdays. It says there was a story where Rav Sheshes was walking along. Shama kal buchna. You heard the sound of a pestle crushing salt. Omar, he declared, this can't be my family. Hai lav migavei de beisoyu. this sound cannot be emanating from my home. They know that you're not meant to do this on Yom Tov without a shinui. Says the Gemara, "V'dil matzli atzli." Well, how do you know what they were doing? Maybe they were tipping the mortar sideways. The shamid avat sol kol. He heard clearly that it was a ringing, clanging noise, and he's pretty sure that the mortar is upright. Otherwise, the sound wouldn't come out so clear; it would deflect off the walls of the mortar. So, if it's sideways, it wouldn't be as pronounced. The fact that he heard a pronounced, clear sound, it was clear to him that they were crushing the salt without deviation, without tipping over the mortar. Well, maybe it was a seasoning that they were cutting, that they were chopping, that they were crushing. In which case, you don't need any shinui. When it comes to seasoning, when you crush seeds and spices, it has that dull sound to it. And he heard a clear, sharp sound, a salt sound. That's how he knew that something was amiss. Tanu Rabban, what about crushing grain, such as a kernel of wheat, which they would turn into cereal? Says the Braisa, Tanu Rabban, in oisin tisni, you want to take a small mortar and crush grain, take a kernel of wheat and crush it into tisni, to four parts, a quadruple crush. That required extensive effort. You don't do that on Yom Tov. That's extra tircha. Vein koichim b'machteshes. Ain't not meant to crush kernels, crush grain, in a mortar. Tarti, these two parts of your statement seem to contradict them each other. Why? You're saying two dissimilar things. First you're saying, well, to make this extensive crush, this tisni crush, which requires tircha merubah, that you can't do. Apparently, if it's just a slight crushing of the wheat, that's okay. Then you say, don't use machteshes at all when it comes to crushing wheat. Tarti, two things don't really seem to be in line with each other. No, the Braisa meant simply like this. Ma'atame in oisin tisni. What is the reason why you can't make tisni, which is the chita chopped into four? Because you're not meant to crush in a mortar. Well, then the Braisa should simply say, you don't chop, crush wheat in machteshes. Why does the Braisa first discuss what type of crushing you're doing? Just state simply, ein koichim machteshes. Well, there's no reason to crush wheat on Yom Tov. It's something which is generally done in advance, well in advance of a meal. It's not something which has the allowance, not considered food preparation. It's a tercha, it's whatever it is, whatever reason. The reason for this halacha is, just stated unequivocally, you can't be koitz machteshes. Eat honey ain't koitz machteshes. If the Braisa would have only said that, I would say, hava amina, I would think, honey machteshes gedoyla, that only applies to a large size, a full-size mortar, which really produces properly crushed products. Ava machteshek tana, but if it's a mini mortar, which doesn't really do such a good job, it's generally used for spices and seasoning, and when you crush kernels and wheat in there, it doesn't really get crushed properly. It's kalachar yad, it's a backhanded way of doing it. So I would think perhaps that you can do, that's considered tzerach achila, it's just considered preparing your next meal. Ava machtashas tana ema shaper domi, perhaps I would allow it. Kamashmon, that's what the Brian said, to go through both cases. Number one, I want to tell you that you don't use machteshes. And the point is, any type, whether large or small, because the Braisa begins by saying, you don't make tisni, which means you can't make tisni anytime. Right? Which indicates that there's no difference regarding machtesh's size. And therefore, I conclude from this, that when the Braisa continues and says, what size are we speaking about? Irrelevant of size. Right? The Braisa begins, don't make tisni. And doesn't differentiate between the machteshes' size. So that leads us into the next part of the Braisa. Ein koichim machteshes, that any size machteshes is unacceptable when it comes to chitim. So it's really one continuous statement. Don't do tisni, and the reason is because you can't use any machteshes. So again, if the Braisa would only say in Kodesh Machtesh, I would say maybe just a large one, which is an effective crush, but a small one's okay. That's what the Braisa had to begin and say, don't make Tisni. Why? Why can't you make Tisni? Because you can't use Machteshes. And the fact that we have to give that lead in Enes and Tishni because of Machteshes, what does that tell you? That any Machteshes is off. Whether large or small, therefore you can never make Tisni. Because if you would have been able to use a small Machteshes, you can make Tisni in a small Machteshes. The fact that we say, don't make Tisni because you can't use Machteshes, what does that tell you? Why can't I ever do Tisni? Because I can't use any Machteshes, whether large or small. But that doesn't work, but Tani, listen to this price. Ein koichim machteshes gedoyla. You can't use a large one for crushing of grain. Oh, koichim machteshes tana. You can use a small one, which isn't really an effective tool for this purpose. It's just a slight crush. It's not really a properly crushed item. It's tzorech su'uda klachar yad. So how can you say that all mortars are off limits? Amar Abaye, you're right. Kitanya nami masnisa. When the Braisa says you cannot use a machteshes for crushing of wheat, machteshes doyla tanya. It was specific to a large one. So the Braisa really is telling you two things. Two separate halachas. Don't make tisni, even in a small mortar, because that's tercha maruba, that can't be done on Yom Tov. Number two, Ein koichim machteshes, which means a large machteshes. So even if you're not going to make a real proper crush, a tisni crush, even just a slight crush of that wheat, but if you're using a large machteshes, that's uvde dechol, that looks like the way it's done during the weekday, and it's a real machteshes, a real crushing tool, and that you're not meant to use on Yom Tov at all, by the way, whether it comes to wheat or salt or seasoning. The whole sugi here only allows a small mortar. But a large mortar, a large machteshes, that's a proper piece of equipment that's not meant to be used on Yom Tov. So according to Abaye, tircha meruba like tisni, which is taking the kernel and crushing it into four parts, that's not to be done on Yom Tov at all. And likewise, you can never use a large machteshes for any purpose on Yom Tov. Rav Amar Leikash, he has a different approach. Let's go back to the price. Don't make it tisni. Why? Here comes the reason. Why? Because you can't use a machteshes. So according to Rav, the price means any machteshes, large or small. So as opposed to a bite, that the price was discussing two separate things. Tisni you can't because of the extra tircha. And machteshes meaning a gedoyla you can't because that's a proper piece of equipment. Says Rabbi, no, the Braisa is discussing one and the same halacha. Don't make tisni because you cannot use any machteshes, even a small one. What do you mean? We had a Braisa which says you could use a small one. It's not a proper piece of equipment. It doesn't achieve proper effective results. So how do we work this out? We have a steer between two brises. Rav Amalei Kashi answers, halon v'alohu. Depends who you're speaking to. Lon, for us, in Chutz Laretz, where Rashi says, we don't have avodim, which are mezalzal halachis. So we allow. Use a small one, not the big one. Lohu, in Eretz Yisrael, whether avodim were mezalzal b'mitzvahs. They would know it all, and they would just take it wherever they want. So if we allow them the small one, perhaps they're going to stretch it over to the large one as well. So in Eretz Yisrael, all mortars are off limits for crushing of wheat. Continues Gemara, Rav Papi ikla lebei Marshmol. Rav Papi visited Marshmol's home on Yom Tov. I see le daisa. They brought him some cereal, some crushed grain. V'leyachal, he refused to eat. What's the problem? V'dilma machteshes tanavdu. It was in Chutz Laretz. Maybe they use a small mortar. It's tzarech achila, it's klachar yad. It's echel nefesh, what's wrong with that? The chazi, because he noticed, davadayek tfei. It was really professionally crushed. It's pretty clear that they must have used a large one. And a large machteshes can't be used on Yom Tov. And since the malacha was done on Yom Tov, on his behalf, he couldn't have it. But how do you know they did it today? Maybe they prepared it before Yom Tov. He wasn't around to see. The chazi davakolif. Zahari. he saw that the surface, the appearance was colorful, was shiny, was fresh, it was freshly crushed grain. This must have been done today. Viboyisim, another pshat, another teretz, why he was concerned. Shani Bimashmo. Bimashmo's home, things were a bit different than your typical home. Over there they had avodim, who were parrots, who did their own thing, and therefore he figured we have to make an extra precaution. And even though it's in Chutz Laretz, we have to be concerned that perhaps we shouldn't allow them to use any mortars, and just in case, it's going to lead them to go ahead and use the large machteshes, which is us. Or perhaps he knew that their priestess nature, it makes him suspect of perhaps having done it on Yom Tov. That's the Teretz mortar. Where it says it was clear that it was a properly crushed item in a large mortar. And the question was, maybe it was done yesterday. No, he knows that they were prutzim, they were mezalzel, they negated halachas of Yom Tov. So he had reason to believe that it was done today, and therefore he refused to partake in that cereal. Okay, let's just summarize the halachas that we just learned. So we're speaking about crushing salt, seasoning, in a small time, machteshes ketana. What is the halacha? So when it comes to a tavlin, where perhaps he wouldn't know that he was going to need it on Yom Tov. It was an unanticipated development. Or on account of the fact that it has to remain fresh. So whatever reason it is, we have a leniency when it comes to seasoning. And therefore, according to Beis Shammai, only one shina is needed. And according to Beis Hillel, you can do it in the ordinary, normal fashion. Now, there was another gerus in the Gemara, which was Reb Meir's version of the Machlekes. According to him, when it comes to seasoning, no shinui is needed, according to all shittas. Whether Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. When it comes to salt, more stringent, something he could have done yesterday. Something which appears perhaps like he's doing for commercial purposes, for long-term storage and use. Because why is he waiting for Yom Tov to do it? In that case, we say, Umachmer. Beis Shammai requires two shinuyim, and only a small amount for the sake of sprinkling on the roasted meat. According to Beis Hillel, one shinui is enough. And according to Reb Meir's version of Beis Hillel, even melach can be done kedarkei. No shinui. But bimatal tzid, you have to turn the mortar on its side. Do it a bit sideways, which would be derech shinui. How much salt? Unlimited. Even the kedera. We concluded with grains such as chitim. So number one, tisne, you can't do that. It requires extensive effort, which shouldn't be done on Yom Tov. What about if it's just ordinary crushing? So if it's a machteshes gdoila, as we said, of course it's us. But machteshes ktana, Abai says it's mutter. And rather the friendship between locations. And above all, it's mutter. As a show, it had a vada, which a mazalzel. We don't allow it. Continues the Mishnah. Haboyer the kitten is beyom tov. What about doing boyer on Yom Tov? On Shabbos, you can't do boyer, but you could go ahead and pick the food out of the inedible for immediate consumption. Biyad, if it's done manually. So that certainly can be done on Yom Tov as well. It's not really called boyer, it's called derech achila. What about proper boyer, separating the inedibles from the edibles? Is that a malacha that's mutar on Yom Tov? Ev machlekes. Ha boyer kidneys be Yom Tov. If one does boyer on beans, separating the food from the inedibles. He picks out the food portion, and eats it right away. That's not called boyer, that's derech achil. Boyer is a heter for eichel nefesh. No problem. According to Beis Shammai, apparently there's no heter of eichel nefesh by boyer. Perhaps boyer is something which isn't necessarily connected to food preparation. You do it on the farm, it has that commercial ring to it. So boyer is not allowed on Yom Tov. According to Beis Hillel, boyer is one of those malachis which are allowed for eichel nefesh. So boyer kedarkai, you can separate the way he ordinarily does, which is separating the psoilis, the inedibles, from the eichel b'cheikai, using his lap, piling it up b'kanan b'tamcha, even a tool, a funnel. He has to throw a seed into this funnel, and the seed slither out, and the chaff remains behind. Ubetam chayora, some sort of a tray used to separate the psoilus from the oichel. Avalei betavla, but he shouldn't use a large tray. Avalei benafa, avalei bekvara, or sieves and sifters, which are generally used for large quantities, in which case it would appear like he's preparing for after Yom Tov. So if it looks like it's for today, it's mutter, but otherwise, don't do it. Rama Gamliel Omer af mediach v'shel. I'll give you another method of doing bir. Take the beans, flood it with water, and have the skins float up. Tanya, we learned in a braise. Omer Rama Gamliel. Bamed v'er mamur. When does Vesila allow separating psoilus from oichel on Yom Tov? K'sha oichel merubel psoilus. When you have more edible than inedible. So it's 51. Oichel, 49% psoilus. Avol psoilus. Merubel oichel. If you have more psoilus than oichel in this mixture, 51 psoilus and 49 oichel. Divrei HaKol according to all shittis, even Beis Hillel would agree. You're not meant to separate the psoilus from the oichel. Rather, noitel sa oichel v'neach sa psoilus. You're meant to grab hold of the edibles and leave the psoilus behind. And something more explain why. But first, let's understand. Psoilus merubel oichel? If it's 51% psoilus, mi'ikam on the shor, is anybody allowed to even move around this mixture, to even touch the oichel? Rashi explains, what's the problem? Well, there's more inedible than the edible is bottle barayv. It's considered all psoilus. And halacha, we consider it to be all psoilus, and it's a mokzi, you can't even touch it. Leitzrich, apparently, we're speaking in the Navish, betircha vezuta b'shuri. Rambam Gamliel meant like this. Of course, it's more oichel than psoilus. It's 51% oichel and 49% psoilus. We're speaking the Navish betircha. To get the psoilus out requires a great measure of effort. It's just flaky particles of chaff and skin, hard to get out. So in quantity, it's less than the oichel, but as far as the effort required, it's easier just to take the edible, leave the inedible behind. The nafesh betircha, it's harder. It's more tircha to remove the psoilus rather than the oichel. V'zuta b'shi'uroi, and the psoilus is of course less than the oichel. So the oichel is not bottled to the psoilus. It's not mokta. But since it takes more effort to remove the psoilus, says Rambam Gamliel, you have to take the path of least resistance on Yom Tov, the least amount of tircha. So rather than separating psoilus from oichel, which requires great tircha, do it the other way around, take the oichel and leave the psoilus behind. So it's not a boyer issue, it's a tircha issue. And even Basil would agree, in this case, choose the oichel rather than the psoilus. Rambam Gamliel Omer af mediach v'shel, another method would be flooding the beans and have the skins float up. Tanya Omer Belozer, Barab Tzadik, Ka Chayimin Hagen Shobes Rambam Gamliel. This is the way they used to do it in Rambam Gamliel's home. Shemevid li mole adoshin, they'll bring a pail full of beans, and flood it with water. V'nimtza oichel lamata, psoilus lamala, which will result in the food gravitating to the bottom, and the psoilus floating up to the top. V'atani ifcha, we have a braisa which describes it going the other way around, that the inedible floats down. L'kash, the answer is haba afra. If we're speaking about sand, pebbles, of course, that weighs down and floats to the bottom. Haba gili, we were speaking about straw and skins, those float up to the top. So, conclusion when it comes to Beir on Yom Tov. Bishami say X, no way. Beir is us on Yom Tov. If it's Derech Achila, then it's Mutah. For instance, if he grabs hold of the food portion manually and eats it right away, that's Mutah. That's Derech Achila, it's not Beir. According to Basil, Beir is one of those Melachos Mutah on Yom Tov. However, you have to do B'miyut Terech with the least amount of effort, and also in a non-commercial manner without using these tools, tavlo nafo kvar. According to Rambam Gamliel, af mediach v'shele, flooding the grain or the beans, is also an acceptable method. Continues the Mishnah, b'shama imrim ein mishalchem b'yamtiv, elamonis. You're not meant to send a gift on yamtiv, unless it's something meant for today, monies, ready-made food, which he will eat today. Otherwise, sending gifts appears like derech choyl, zilzel, delivering, taking, and sending. So something which is necessary for today, tzarech yom tov, that's okay. But otherwise not. Basilu aymrim? No. Meshalchem behema. Send an animal, chaya v'oif. Ben chayim eishchutim, whether alive or shachut. even though perhaps he's not eating it today. That's okay. Not only that, Mishalchan Yena Ishmana Maslas. You could send wines, oils, flowers, the kidneys and beans, avaloi tzvua, but not uncooked, raw wheat, grain. Because that's not something which is edible as is. But Rabbi Shimon Mata b'tzvua, he allows tzvua. Why? Because you could theoretically have it today as well. Tanakama says, well, how can I have tzvua? I have to grind it, to process it. You can't do that on Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon says, although generally speaking, they would grind, they would thresh and grind the tzvua, but there's a way out. You could take a small machteshes and give it a slight crush and throw it into the dish. So it's not typical, but it's theoretically edible for today, and therefore it's mutter to be sent as well. Tani Rav Yechiel, ubelvad shelo yaseinu b'shura. Even though we speak about the heter of sending things, sending gifts around on Yom Tov, but don't do it in a very public way. Ubelvad shelo yaseinu b'shura. You can't send it with a group of people. In which case it would appear like they're going to the marketplace and doing business. Tana, we're going to the Brisa. What is shura? In shura, p'chusa m'shleisha b'yadam. Shura is generally used to describe a group of people no less than three. So if it's one or two people, that's okay. But if you have three, that's already a shura. It's too public. It's not for Yom Tov. Boi Ravashi, what about the following case? Tzlosa gavra. You have three people delivering your gifts. Tzlosa minit. But each one is holding a different min. This one's holding the animal. This one's holding the bird. This one's holding the wine. So do we look at the collective group and say, well, three people. It's too big. As to pronounce. Or do we say, look at the item they're holding. Each one is delivering a different item. My, what's the halacha here? Take it, we leave it unresolved. Rabbi Shimon Matar B'Tzvua, he allows Tzvua to be sent. Why? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Matar B'Tzvua, you know he allows Tzvua? Kigoyin Chitim, for instance, when it comes to wheat, last men Lidias. Because it could be turned into Lidias, Rashi says, some wheat dish, which doesn't require proper processing and grinding. So Irem, when it comes to barley, well, you can use it on Yom Tov. Litan Lchim Behemtik, feed his animal. Adoshim, lentils, beans, last men resisin, some sort of macha, which is made with beans. And therefore, you can send it on Yom Tov. Continues the Mishnah. Meshalchan Kelim, you can send, Kelim means begadim, clothing, materials. Bein Tfurin, whether they're sewn clothing and useful for Yom Tov. Bein Shein and Tfurin, whether they're unsewn, just a piece of material. Avafal b'shiyesh b'm kalayim, is the chiddush, even though they're kalayim, you can send it on Yom Tov. Vehein l'tzirach ha-moed. But as long as they can be used for Yom Tov in some capacity, you can send it. Then we'll go into the tzirach. What kind of use do you have from these things, especially kalayim? Then we'll go into it. So all these things are mutter. Avalo sandal mesumer. Not meant to send a sandal which has these nails, these pegs, which are not meant to be worn on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then we'll go into this. Avalo minol shein etofer, nor an unsewn shoe. So not a properly developed, a completed shoe, which is not really roy for anything, that cannot be sent on Yom Tov. Rabbi Do'imer, afloy minol lovan. You're not meant to send a white shoe, because you need a craftsman to go ahead and dye it. So it's in its current state, it's useless. No point in sending it on Yom Tov. Zahaklal, this is the general rule, kol shena oisin by Yom Tov, something which can be something which provides hana, mishalch and oisa can be sent. Bishlam etzfurin, I understand why you're going to send a properly sewn, tailored suit or dress. Chazul amalbush, be worn. She'ein tfurin nami chazul kesuya, even if it's unsewn, just pieces of material, you can cover yourself with it. So it has function, it has shimush. Ela kalayim my chazul, what are you going to do with kalayim? V'chitema, perhaps I would think, you can place it beneath you and sit on it. You can't do that either. But the Rabbana of Atanya, lo yalo lech, Pasuk says, kilayim should not be worn on you. Aval atayochel atziyot achtecha, but you can place it beneath you and sit on it. That's when I told you, aval omru chachamim, also lasas again. Chacham didn't allow it. Why? Shema tichorech lo nima absori, perhaps while he's sitting on it, a thread of kilayim will wrap himself around you. And you'll have enough from it. So even sitting on kalayim is not allowed. So what good is a kalayim material on Yom Tov? Perhaps you'll have something in between yourself and the kalayim. So you'll use it as a mat with something in between yourself and the kalayim, in which case that concern of techarech le'nima b'sorei, getting entangled with the threads, won't apply because that actually coming into contact with the kalayim. For Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, we're going to see that that's asur as well. Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Amar Rav Yosef ben Shom, Amar Rabbi Mishum, in the name of Kahola Kadisha with the Yerushalayim, the holy community of Yerushalayim, that what? That even this is asur. Afilu eser matzois, even if you have 10 mats, 10 mattresses, zu al gavi zu, one on top of the other. The kalayim tachteim, all in the bottom, you have a piece of kalayim. Oh, solution on them, you can't sleep on them. Chacham wana machalik. Between this case and that. So in a Torah, you can't wear kalayim. The Rabbani can't even sit on kalayim. Even without direct contact. Elu bevila. You know what you can use kalayim for? Hang it up as a curtain. It's not on you, it's not under you, it's mutter. For Amar Ula, Will explains why is it that the Mishnah considers a curtain as something which is mekabel tuma. We know that a in-ground structure, a bias, is not mekabel tuma, except for tumas nagoyim. But otherwise, tuma only applies to utensils, to kalim, to mobile items, but something which is part of the structure, like a viloin hanging over your window. That shouldn't be tummy. Why is it tummy? You know why? Because it serves another purpose as well. Shamash, because the attendant, Mischamim connected. He wraps himself. He warms himself with this curtain. So apparently, a curtain is something which is sometimes wrapped with and used to warm a person. If that's the case, you shouldn't be using kalayim for a V-line. So that's off the table. So what then is kalayim going to use? Going to help you on Yom Tov? Rather, we're speaking about kalayim material, which is stiff material. It says Rashi on the top line, bekashin, begodim kashin, she'ein mechamim, mutar leishav aleihem. Stiff, hard material is different. It doesn't warm you, and as such, you can sit on it. Since sitting on kalayim is only derabon, something which is not mechamim is mutar. Okay, so that's the case in the Mishnah. You have kalayim, stiff, hard material. Send it on Yom Tov because it provides hana. It has a shimush. If you sit on it. V'chiha d'amar Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua, as we learned, hai namta. Namta is some sort of beged, slippers of some sort, which is made of felt. Rashi on the second line from the top says, felt rabalaz. So it's a felt item, gamda, which is hard, the nourish from this town nourish, sharia is mutar, even if it's kalayim, you can sit on it. Omra papa are the lion. Likewise, these undershoes, these slippers, eba mishum kalayim, have no concern of kalayim, even if they're a mixture of wool and linen, because again, we're speaking about something which is hard, doesn't really warm you. Likewise, says Gemara Amarava, hanei tsari, this material of wool and linen, which is used to wrap around the pshiti coins, used as a money pouch. The money hardens it, smooths and hardens the material. And therefore, Eva Mishon Kalayim, there's no concern of Kalayim whatsoever, because you can have it on your lap, no problem, because it's not really a beggar, it's not meant to provide warmth or insulation. It's just a pouch. The Bizrani, but if this material is meant to contain seeds, in which case the material doesn't get really hardened and could still provide warmth and insulation. Yesh b'mishum kalayim, there is a concern of kalayim there. You can't place it on you. Rav Ashi Omar, he has a chiddush. Echad zeh v'echad zeh. Whether the money pouch or the seed pouch, ein b'mishum kalayim, there's no concern of kalayim. You know why? These aren't begadim. These aren't meant for wearing and for insulation and for warmth. L'mishayin derech chimum b'kach, it's not the derech to be meschamim, to warm yourself with money pouches and seed pouches. And therefore, even if it's kalayim, there's no concern. So getting back to the Mishnah, at Akasha, why are you meant to send kalayim on Yom Tov? What benefit, what service can it provide? It's a useless item. Answer is, if it's hard and stiff, you can use it by placing it beneath you. So, what did we learn today? When it comes to grinding items, l'kavod Yom Tov, So it's for Eichel Nefesh. But we have to ensure that it gives the appearance of something being done for the upcoming meal, for food preparation, as opposed to simply processing things that would appear like an uvda d'chor, like a weekday activity, like a malach. So we had three different classes. We had seasoning, spices, salt, and we discussed wheat as well. So we had a machlekes between Mesham and Mesilla. When it comes to seasoning, we have a kula. Why do we have a kula there? Because you don't know you're going to need it. So it's certainly the tzarech yamtiv. Or because you have to keep freshness. So it's considered tzarech yamtiv. And therefore, even according to Mesham, one deviation is enough. You use a mudach shel eitz, a wooden club instead of a stone club. That's it. And according to one sheet in the Gemara, when it comes to seasoning, do it the way you normally do, without any shino whatsoever. According to Basil, no shino is needed. When it comes to salt, one more machmer, that could be done in advance. Therefore, if you choose to do it on yamtiv, you have to show that it's a tzerech yamtiv. According to Bishamay, a double shino is needed, an earthenware mortar, a mixing spoon as a club. And even that is only allowed, let's say, a small amount. According to Basil, one shino is enough. As long as you use a wooden club, that's okay. According to the other version of the Gemara, no shin is needed whatsoever, as long as you tip the mortar a bit off to the side. And any quantity is mut. When it comes to crushing chitim, tisni is also, because that's something which requires excessive tircha. What about just crushing it without that, without the tisni aspect, just plain simple crushing, according to by its mutter, according to rava, and bubble its mutter, and it's a show of concern about these avodim or mezazel. We don't want to run the risk of extending the heter further. They'll use it, the heter to apply to a machteshes gedolah, which is certainly aser. That's the bottom line of the sugya, that everything is only muta if it's a small, improvised, mini, one-time use, so to speak. Machteshes ketanah, if it's large size, machteshes, that's a commercial piece of equipment, that can't be done on Yom Tov. What about boiler on Yom Tov? Beishamah say, it's aser, unless it's derech achila. If you're manually picking the food, for media consumption, going to be still bur is mutter, as long as you may to tircha, but you'll use commercial equipment. And we'll provide another example of bur flooding the grain, the beans, and having the skins or straw float up to the top. What about sending items, gifts on Yom Tov? Moore says the answer is only if it's going to be low key, as opposed to sending it with a multitude of people, three people, which would appear, like Rashi says, kemalichim likibushukt, on the way to the marketplace. So if it's a small personal gift, it's mutter. What are you going to send? According to Bishamai, dafka things which are going to be ready-made food can be used for Yom Tov itself. Whereas according to Bishilol, even unfinished products are mutter as long as they're useful. They have some use to them. How is kalaim useful? Hard, stiff pieces of kalaim, which you can place beneath you and use it as a mat. Kol tov to you and much hatzlacha.